The New Century Version captures the Great Commission this way. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All power in heaven and on earth is given to me. So go and make followers of all people in the world. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I have taught you, and I'll be with you always, even until the end of this age."
From the Message we read, Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. "God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up to the end of the age."
And finally, from the New Living Translation, Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
Thanks. You know, sometimes just because the instructions are clear, like the command is clear, it's not always easy to do it, right? Like, for example, just paint that picture. Or, it's easy, just follow the instructions and build that shelf. Or how about this one, while you're driving along? Turn right here. Or one of my favorites is, just hit the target. I'm traumatized by that one, actually. Raised in Northern Alberta, we shot a lot of stuff. Anyway, overhaul that engine. Hit that ball. Or don't get hit by that ball, the dodgeball scars. Anyone? Okay, so clear command, but sometimes hard to actually do it. Just because you know what you're supposed to do doesn't mean you always can do it. Doesn't mean it's always easy. And sometimes you don't even know how to get started. And then what's worse, there's people around you who want to give you all the advice, right? Particularly people who seem really good at it. And they say, "We'll just do this and this and this and this and this, and it just works, you know. I don't really think about it. I just kind of do that math. It's easy." Or, you know, come on, if you just you know, did these couple things, it would all work out okay. We all have those people around. And as a result, we can get kind of intimidated, right? Because we think, well, they can do it, but they must be gifted, or they must have something special, or they've learned lots, but who am I to even try? Today we're talking about making disciples. And I actually think that while making disciples is one of those really clear commands Jesus gave to us, it's something that we've often felt unable to do. We aren't quite sure what to do or even where to start, and we can feel pretty intimidated by the command. We're just starting a new message series that's going to kind of go into February, and we're trying to refocus as a church on what does it mean for us to be God's people on purpose? What does it mean for us to be God's church on purpose? So we're taking a few weeks to focus in on what is often called the Great Commission from Jesus, breaking it down and saying, well, how does this help us refocus as a church on who we are, what we're supposed to be about, what are our priorities? And this applies to us as people. This applies to us individually. It applies to us corporately. What does it mean for us to be God's church on purpose? And so we're walking through. And today, we come to sort of the central command of the Great Commission, which is to go and make disciples of all the nations. And so what we're going to do today is just kind of walk through this phrase, and we're going to have a lot of opportunity to interact. So be ready to do that. We're going to have a lot of opportunity to interact. I really want to have more of a conversation with you about this. This is that kind of a deal. But in order to prep it, I'll say a few things as well. So let's walk through the phrase together. So the first word in this phrase is the word therefore, which all you grammar people, what do you say when you see a therefore? You ask, come on, Val, What's it there for? Right? What's it there for? Well, the therefore points directly back to last week, where we looked at that first phrase where Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And we talked about what it means for Jesus to be having been given all authority, and how as Jesus followers, we say Jesus is Lord. He's the one who has authority, all authority. And so based on the fact that who Jesus is and that he has all authority, what he says next comes from that. We submit to Jesus. We trust in his goodness and his care and his leadership. We know that his authority is always used to bring good things into people's lives. And it's like Jesus says, because I have all authority, he calls them, and you are my followers, right? And you're like, yeah, yeah, and we follow you. Because I have all authority, you're my followers, here's what I want you to do. That's what's going on here. That's what the therefore means. I have all authority, you're my followers, here's what I want you to do. Go. Go make disciples. This go is kind of more assumed than it is a command. I mean, there's a little bit of command in here, but it's more like as you're going, as you go about your day, as you go about your work, as you are going, it presumes movement on the part of our lives, on the part of the people of God. It presumes that in some way we're on the move, we're interacting, we're going out. But also assumes that God's people, having received this good news about Jesus, they want to go out and share it. So there's kind of an assumption here that you're already going. You're already active as you go. But for those who are kind of stuck, maybe in a comfort zone, or maybe there's certain groups you don't talk to or certain people you avoid, or maybe you just think, I'm a homebody, I never, you know, look outside my valley walls here or whatever, then it actually does become a kind of a command. You need to be a person who goes. Now, that going might mean across the street, but there's an active going that is taking place in the people of God. So go, but go and do what? Go make disciples. And this is the core command for the Jesus commission that he's given to the church. All the rest of what he says in this great commission flows out of this central command to go and make disciples. Jesus, who has all authority in heaven and earth, he says, I want you to do something. Go and make disciples. It's very, very clear. So a couple questions come, I think, immediately. First of all, what is a disciple? Not a word we use every day. I get that. It's not something we commonly think of. What is a disciple? When we say disciple or make a disciple, what do we mean? And then secondly, how do you do that? Right? Well, let's start with the first one. What is a disciple? Well, very simply, you know, kind of the dictionary definition is just that a disciple is someone who follows another person, practices their way of life, and sort of follows their philosophy of life, and then either more actively or more passively, invites others to consider that as well, to consider their way of life, to consider the person they're following. That's broadly what a disciple is. In particular, we're talking about a disciple of Jesus, and that is someone who follows Jesus, who trusts in Jesus as a person and practices the Jesus way of life and actively invites others to consider following Jesus as well. That's what a disciple of Jesus is, and we're going to break that down a little bit more. So the first thing is, a disciple follows. You know, discipleship sometimes can become, maybe in some circles, a bit academic. We can think of discipleship as a big stack of books I have to read or something like that. But that's not discipleship. Being a disciple of Jesus is an active following of Jesus, where we're concretely living out step by step, day by day, in our relationships with the people we work with our kids, with our spouse, with the interactions we have with our own selves and our own struggles, where we're concretely living out this way of life that Jesus has given us, that we're following the person of Jesus, not just a philosophy or a teaching, but we're following a person. And as followers of Jesus, we experience change in our lives. Identifiable changes in our attitudes, the way we think about others, the way we see situations. Our love for others grows. It grows as we come to understand who Jesus is and his love for us. It grows as we come to understand others and their struggles and what's going on. And so there's change that happens as a disciple follows Jesus. That the life of a Jesus follower increasingly matches the life of Jesus himself and the way he taught us to live. So a disciple follows. Secondly, a disciple grows. This is crucial. I tossed around grows and learns. I went with grows because learns to me would slide us toward too much just about academics. But I think that there's a sense, of course, in this growing that we're learning about the Bible. We're learning about who God is. We're unpacking what it means to follow him. So there is a sense in which we're people of the book, right? We take the Bible seriously. We dig in, we learn from others, and we've got a plan in place to grow. But it's about growing. It's about dealing with those character issues in our life. It's about being in relationship with Jesus and relationship with others and having those blind spots uncovered. Your tendency to get offended, your cynicism, the way you look at women or the way you treat your kids, those things, having those things unpacked and having our character challenged. Ooh, that makes, because growth is never fun, you understand, right? Well, it can be fun. But lots of times the growth that God wants to do in my life, it's not fun, right? It's growth. It's painful. It involves change in my life. It involves sometimes a ripping and a tearing. But this growth happens as we take God's word seriously. And there's a payoff, right? We heard it in George's story. As we grow, we begin to see things differently. We begin to experience things differently. We begin to see, wow, a whole new world unfolds in front of us as we grow. As God's word is applied to our lives, we grow. Disciples grow. And I want to argue that if you're not growing, you're not a disciple. Now, I'm not making this statement about your spiritual faith. Put that aside. I'm just saying, you're not a disciple. A disciple is a person who grows. Who grows and is growing and is learning. And if you've become stagnant or flatline, you need to be resuscitated. Right? So a disciple is a growing person. And if you ask, well, I haven't really grown this last year. Well, it's time to grow. Get some water, get some soil, get in a group, do whatever it takes to start growing because a disciple grows. And the third one is a disciple shares. And we see all this in the Great Commission. We'll be unpacking over the next few weeks. But a disciple shares. As a disciple of Jesus, we actively share the good news about Jesus with others, inviting others to consider what Jesus has done for them and inviting them to just look at Jesus and you know, maybe walk through Scripture, maybe come to Alpha with you. And that sharing with others, while it does take courage, I get that, and for some of us more courage, and there are skills to be learned, yep. But it's a natural byproduct, actually, of really coming into contact with Jesus, of really coming to grips with who he is. And as he is actively changing your life and as you're growing, as you're following, there's a sense in which sharing becomes natural. And others are invited to come with you on this journey. Like, hey, I'm following this great guy. Come, check him out. And there's a natural sharing that goes on. Disciples share. And not to be trite, but it did strike me that a disciple who doesn't share, doesn't care. I know it rhymed. I'm not much of a rhymer, but really it's true. A disciple who doesn't share, doesn't care. If you're all closing in on yourself, there's a problem. And you've got to figure that out. That might be an area you need to grow in. So a disciple follows, a disciple grows, and a disciple shares. So, summarize. A disciple is a follower of Jesus who's growing in relationship to God and with God and is actively helping others do the same. That's a disciple. That's what a disciple is. But if that's what a disciple is, how do you make one? You know, they don't come in a box, right? It's not like it's here's the recipe you follow and out pops a disciple at the end of 2 hours. I think this is where we get stuck, because I think we think of discipleship as something complicated, something heady, something out there, when it's really not. What is discipleship? In the end, it's very simply inviting others to journey with you as you follow Jesus. Helping them in small ways, in normal ways, just to connect to Jesus. And together, growing in faithfulness to God. And so one of my hopes even today as we talk about it is that we kind of demystify, but also decomplicate what it means to make disciples. That really, it's about loving people. It's about inviting them to be part of your life. It's about learning and growing and serving together, shoulder to shoulder, saying, let's follow Jesus. Let's figure out what this means. Let's get in close and see God transform us as we let His Holy Spirit in. Now, this whole command to make disciples is something that, you know, Christians agree with. And if you're new to the whole Christian thing and this church thing is still kind of new to you, just know that most Christians would say making disciples is central. And any church that's worth the name would say making disciples is central. This is what we do, right? But in reality, it often kind of remains a slogan on the wall or something that we say we do, but in practical ways, you wonder if it ever gets done. Oh, it gets done. Don't get me wrong. I'm certainly not. But, you know, you wonder. As the Erickson Covenant Church, we've said we're all about helping people find and follow Jesus, right? Helping people find and follow Jesus is just another way of saying we want to disciple people. We want to make disciples. But how does it move from being a slogan or a statement or even just, a command from Jesus? How do we move it from there to make it practical and real? Something that actually impacts your life on a weekly level. Like it's in your calendar. You can see it happening because it's a priority for you. How active are you in making disciples? Don't say it out loud, but if you were to rate yourself on an activity scale of 1 being a couch potato and 10 being an ultra marathon runner in the disciple making spectrum, where would you put yourself? How intentional or how active are you in making disciples? Can we name the people we've been walking with this last year, we've been growing in faith with, and we've been applying God's word to our lives with? I hope you can, but I know that some of us can't. Can we identify the people we've been learning with, we've been learning from, we've even been teaching? Are we intentional about sharing Jesus with others, even if that's just a simple invite to have coffee and begin talking about what you're learning, or maybe come to Alpha or whatever, come to a small group with me? Have we been intentional about sharing Jesus with others, inviting them to learn and to grow with us? Are we, as followers of Jesus, are we actually making disciples? Now, as a church, Erickson Covenant Church, we have seen a number of people come to faith in Jesus for the first time in the last year, 2014. Quite a number of people thrilled by that, right? Very thrilled. They're growing in their faith. They're stepping out in obedience. We've seen people baptized. We've seen people revitalized. We've seen people who their faith had just been sort of dead in the water, you know, face float. And we've seen them revived. And we've seen them excited. We've seen them grabbing a hold of stuff and getting excited and being experienced all that God has for us. Discipleship's happening. It really is. It's happening in the Erickson Covenant Church. But can I be so bold to say it's still a bit hit and miss? Still kind of haphazard. You know, it's happening, but it's not really happening with the same kind of intentionality that I think Jesus' command requires. I think that needs to change. I think discipleship, making disciples, needs to become our personal priority. If I can be so bold, it needs to become your personal priority. Discipleship, making disciples. In fact, I think it needs to become the lens, or one of the lenses at least, that we see our life through. That we see our work through the context of discipleship. That we see our family, our marriage. And I do not mean you begin to, you know, we'll talk about this later. Well, you disciple one another. You help one another connect with God. You share with one another. You grow together. How many of you have seen your kids through a discipleship lens? I mean, we think as parents a lot about discipline, but how much do we think about discipleship? We recognize that we're discipling these children, helping them connect with Jesus, helping them understand His ways for them. That is hugely significant. That we begin to see our free time, the gifts that God has given you, our participation in this body of believers through the lens of discipleship. Our seniors, our neighbors, the many, many youth who call the Erickson Covenant Church their home church. We need you discipling them. Do you know that? You know, a group of us are getting together tomorrow morning to talk about our youth and what we can do to connect with them and mentor them and lead them and have them flourish. But, you know, even 5, 6 of us, we cannot mentor the number of youth who are hanging around here. Do you know that? not alone. We need you to take an active role in discipling our youth, in walking alongside them. Everyone, the cranky and the kind, they all need to be discipled, right? As we walk alongside. So here's the question, how are we going to do that? Because I think it needs to become central. I think we as a church, Erickson Covenant Church, we need to say, we're going to make disciples or we're going to quit calling ourselves the church. We're going to produce or fold, you know what I mean? We're going to really get serious about this. And so I thought about that and I wondered, what is it that hangs us up? What is it that hangs me up when we think about discipleship? So I produced a top 10 list. At first I said excuses we give, but reasons we give. Top 10 reasons we give for not making disciples. See if you can identify with any of these. And as we go through it, maybe there's some that I missed. I'm sure there are. I'd love you to speak them out. But what I'd like to do right now is to go through these 10 and I'd like us to have a little bit of a conversation about, like, what is it, how would you answer this excuse or this reason that's given for why you wouldn't or why someone wouldn't disciple others? Top 10 reasons. Number one, I can't disciple someone because I still have faith struggles myself. I know that's a reason for some people saying, I can't disciple. I don't have it all together. I mean, what do I have to give? I'm still trying to figure this stuff out myself. So what's the answer to that? What would be your answer to someone says, I can't disciple because I still have faith struggles myself? It's okay to say you don't know.
You struggle together.
You struggle together. Thank you, Deborah. Sylvie. We're real people, not perfect people. Thank you.
You'll never not struggle.
You'll never not struggle. Exactly. Yes. But how many of us have carried an idea in our minds that to be a discipler or to enter, you know, to engage this, I've got to somehow attain some level of expertise, perfection, holiness, whatever. I've got to somehow be at this place where I don't struggle anymore. That's wrong, you know. We're called to make disciples actively from the get-go. As we struggle, as we're figuring stuff out, we're called into this relationship of making disciples. Well, you might identify this one. It's related, but, you know, I can't disciple someone because I don't know enough. You know, I just learned about the Bible myself. I just got started last week, you know. What's your answer to that? Learn together. What else? You never know enough. That's right. What else?
You share what you do know, not what you don't know.
Thank you. You share what you do know, not what you don't know. What else?
You know your story. You know God's
impact. Right. Sharing your own story and what's going on for you. Yeah. What else?
Trust God to fill in the gaps.
Yeah. And sometimes you can take an active role in this, right? There can be two of you who can say, well, you know, between you and I, we barely can pool together what we know, right? But that guy over there, I think he's farther along than we are. Let's invite him into this, right? Maybe I don't know enough in that sense. But that doesn't mean, this is about walking beside each other, right? This is about helping each other see Jesus. And you can do that as you're learning. I mean, actually, that's what is going on. You're doing that as you're learning together. So that is a lame excuse for not discipling. Another thing is guess how much you'll grow and how much you'll learn when you enter into more intentional a relationship of learning together. Where that feeling of I don't know enough, letting it drive you to actually learn and grow. It's beautiful. Number three, and my personal favorite, that's the pastor's job. What's the problem with that? There's only, yeah, one, two, maybe three. It doesn't matter. But there's not enough of us to go around, right? What else? It's not the pastor's job. That's right. Yeah. Pardon? Sorry, Candace. Yes. We miss out. Yes, exactly. I have so much fun in the discipleship relationships I have. You have no idea what you're missing out on. That's right. We miss out. And I want to rephrase what I said. It's my job as a Christian to disciple others. But But it's not my job to disciple all of you. I'm going to disciple a few of you. And this is the context in which I'm discipling you, right? Right? This is part of the learning and the teaching and part of my role as the pastor and even just someone with pastoral gifts as part of my role. But and so this is a discipleship engagement here for sure. But it's not my job. In fact, it says in the Bible, Ephesians 4, that pastors and apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists were given to the church. Why? To equip the church to do the work of the ministry so that we can all get built up. So my role is to help you do the making disciples thing, right? It's not my job, and you miss out. And can I just say, we put a lid on growth in our church. We put a lid on growth if we expect a few people to do it all. We just say, well, I guess this is it. This is the max we can do. And you know what? It's not about just numbers and building your sign. This is about people's lives. This is about people coming to know Jesus who don't know Jesus. People who come in to have hope who don't have hope. This is about people finding some sense of restoration in their lives who are so broken and so in despair, right? That's who's missing out if we don't take discipleship seriously as individuals. If we can let go of this idea that it's somebody else's job and take it personally, it'll transform you, but it'll transform the people you know, the people you don't know yet, the people in our valley. It's amazing. All right. This is similar, number four. I wouldn't know what to do. I mean, like, the particulars of what to do. If I were, and you know what I would say? Learn it. It's not complicated. It's called get together for coffee and ask, how's it going? That's where it starts, It's very, very easy in that sense. It's about being intentional about your conversations. And you know what? You can learn about it. How many of us who have had the privilege of being parents knew how to parent when that first kid came through the chute? Sorry about that, Kristen. Any experts here? Who was an expert before the child was born? Because some of you were experts before the child was born. How many of you were experts 2 weeks in? Right? None of us knew how, really. And those of us who did were bluffing and making everyone else feel bad. And so it's like that, right? This is about new birth. This is about new growth. And come on, we don't have it all together. We'll learn how to do it if we'll just commit to do it together, to travel together. We'll figure it out. We'll get advice. We'll pull someone else in. We'll figure out what to do. Number five, wouldn't that be a bit presumptuous or kind of weird? I think that's only weird if we think of discipleship as some kind of hierarchy thing, when it's not that. Because, you're not making a disciple of Mike or Sharon, right? We're making disciples of Jesus. We're not asking people to follow me or you. We're saying, together, let's follow Jesus. It's not a hierarchy thing. Of course, we know that in our lives, there's people who are further along or know more in that sense, or have a deeper relationship with Jesus, have walked with Jesus for a long time. We want to hang out with them. We want to learn off them, obviously. But it's not about a hierarchy. It's about, in humility, serving one another and saying, let's journey together. So I think the whole idea of presumptuous or weirdness is if we have a weird view of discipleship that somehow is really about us, when it's not about us. It's about Jesus and being obedient to him. Number six, I'm not really an academic type of person. I don't read lots, for example. What would be your response to that? Thank you, George. Start reading. What else?
Be yourself.
Absolutely. Pretty sure they have the Bible on audiobook. Pretty sure they have quite a few translations on audiobook. Thank you, Tiffany. What else? Say it, Bill.
Oh.
That's right. That's right. And Becky?
It's about relationship.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He chose fishermen and a tax collector. There were some real dummies in the lot, hey? Aren't we encouraged by that? I am. That's right. And I think I say this because sometimes, depending on, maybe circles you've run in, discipleship has become a really heady affair. And it's not that. It's a life affair. Yes, we learn. Yes, we grow. Yes, we read. I get that. But you know what? We disciple people in our shop. We disciple people while we're working alongside them. We disciple people going for a walk as we simply talk about life oriented around Jesus. So, yeah, I think it includes learning. I think we take the scripture in. We can do that in simple ways, and we can do that in actually fairly easy ways. But it's not about this big academic thing where suddenly you're, you know, all your little disciples are speaking Greeklish or something. Yeah.
Not being an academic.
That's right. You know, several people who have really spoken to my life, and some of them were more academic, and some of them were not at all academic. And the wisdom that God has given people, and the grace that God has given them, is very little to do with academics per se. And I'm not denigrating academics. Obviously, that is amazing and has a place. But this is all about us loving Jesus and coming to know Jesus, not about becoming religious eggheads, right? We don't need any of those. Okay, number 7. I tried that once and it didn't go well. And I just want to say, I could say that about Chinese buffet too, but I have tried it again and again, right? Of course things haven't gone well. I get it. Because relationships are tough, right? And sometimes you've gotten into a small group that was terrible and you've gotten into a relationship with someone and it went sour. I get it. I get it. Because you're a sinner and I'm a sinner and bad things happen, but let me just say, that's not the norm, actually. As we get together and as we learn from one another and as we grow together, great things happen. So don't miss out on what God wants to do in your life and in the life of someone else just because you had a bad experience. But let me just say this as a side, and this isn't in the notes. If you've had consistent bad experiences, stand in front of the mirror and ask yourself, why have I had all these relationships go sour? Because there's a chance that you might have had something to do with it. I say that with all the grace and love I have for you. I really do. God wants you to experience amazing things. And sometimes there's character things in our lives where we sabotage, right? We sabotage the thing that God wants to do. We've got a glaring thing in our life that God wants to change. And if there's a pattern of people running away from you, or things going sour, please ask the Holy Spirit or ask a good friend to reveal it to you. God wants to speak into that. And number 8, I don't have time. That's a common one, right? We all feel pressed for time. But I had a teacher once say to me, y'all got to eat, right? Who here doesn't eat? Who here doesn't sit down and have a meal at least twice a day? Once a day. I'm seeing no hands go up. This is very strange. How many of you eat? All hands should be going up about now. And some of us should be putting up 2 hands. We all eat, right? I'm just saying that as an example. So he said, look, you feel like you don't have time, but take a lunch a month and meet with someone to talk to them about Jesus. You can do that. All of you can do that. You can make lunch, you can make soup, you can have coffee. All of us can find time when it becomes a priority for us. Because it's really not, discipleship is really not about heaping a bunch of stuff more on your schedule. It's about a way of life and a way of living in relationships with the people around us. And frankly, if you don't have time for discipleship, there's something wrong with your schedule, actually. There's something you need to be examined. Because again, Jesus, who has all authority on heaven and earth, said what? Go make disciples. And he said it to you. So if you don't have time for it, well then what are you doing with your time? What do you have time for? Because it's something that actually falls lower on the priority list and it needs to be reexamined. Number 9, I don't feel I have much to give. I think we've already answered that one. I was probably at this point looking for 10, you understand. Top 8 just doesn't have the same ring to it. All right, so I don't feel I have much to give. And I think what I was thinking there was less about the academics, more about feeling like I'm kind of dry and like lifeless myself. And let me just say this. If you step in to a relationship and say, hey, let's journey together, that will be an amazing part of your revitalization. If you feel like I've not been growing, reading the Bible is boring, and I just don't get what's going on, get together with someone and start talking about it. Change things up and see what happens. I think you'd be surprised. And number 10, reasons given is I don't want to. Now, what do we say to that? I don't want to. What do we say? It's honest, yep. What do we say to that? What's our response to that? Okay. Morgan says you have to. I don't care if you don't want to. You have to. What else? Yeah. Examine your relationship with the Lord. Yes. What else?
Get over it.
Get over it. Terry Lynn, way to go. It's kind of a good old-fashioned, like, you know, get like a sort of a southern accent and say, repent! Joel? Right? Sorry, right? Just to make it real, Joel got baptized for a second time. Right? It's flat-out disobedience. So it is. It really does call into question, like, okay, well, let's back up the truck here and ask a little bit of an authority question. Like, where are you at exactly? Do you say Jesus is Lord? Or, like, are you going to follow him? Because it kind of strips it back to the basics, right? Going to be obedient or not? It's kind of a fundamental question that we have to be challenged by. Well, time is ticking away. I think we've had some good discussion here. But are there any just burning questions that you want to throw out right now? Let's, you know, something you want to ask, something I missed from the top 10 list that I created out of my head. Anything else you'd like to add to that?
What about self-confidence?
Yeah, what about self-confidence? And I think that grows as we do it. Like, as we travel with others, we're going to become more confident. Not, you know, in the fact that God wants to work through us. He wants to do things through us. He wants to speak through us as we learn and as we grow. Yeah, I think that's important, though, because I think what stops a lot of us is I just don't feel confident. So don't do it alone. Go with someone else. Yeah. Thank you. And can I just interject for a moment and say it's great to see the boys back from a year in Australia. So very good to see you guys back. Thank you for that, Mike. Anyone else want to chip in at the end here? Val?
A thing that I love the one you're with. Be that same attitude.
Yeah, and I think depending on our relationship and kind of what's going on, it's gonna change kind of what happens. But that is absolutely the lens we have, the way we're operating, so that sometimes we're having that early conversation with someone, sometimes we're in a more deep relationship. It really depends on the nature of the relationship, but this is the focus, or this is the goal, if you want to put it that way. Well, I'll wrap up here by asking you this question. What are you going to do about this year? Like, how are you going to pursue discipleship in 2015? I want you to answer that, but, you know, I'm going to suggest four things. Number one, join a small group. It could be Alpha. You know, it could be that's where you need to start this year. And we're, like I said, we're starting up right away. We are also getting a lot of different small groups going in the church. And so in your bulletin today, there's a portion you can rip off and fill it out. If you're interested in being in a small group, open to hosting a small group, even possibly willing to lead a small group with support and with training. So, identify that, rip it out, and then on your way out today, there's a little basket that says small groups, and just dump it in there, and we're going to begin over the next few weeks to follow up with that. So that's the first one. Second one is to foster a mentoring or discipleship relationship. And this is where you find one or two people to travel with more closely. And maybe you meet once a month for a long walk, and you just talk about how is Jesus working in your life? What are you learning? Maybe you talk about a particular struggle. Maybe you pray together. It's pretty simple, but it's something that you can initiate and be intentional about. And I have a lot more we could say on that second point, but I'll leave it there for now. The third one is to pursue intentional conversations. And this gets to how we interact on a daily level with people around us, that we can pursue much more intentional conversations with people if we're willing to think through a discipleship lens, if we're willing to ask some of those key questions. And this is for wherever people are at in life. This is not about getting all heavy on someone who's not ready for that. It's about fostering the kind of intentional conversation about the things that matter. And maybe you're able to talk about Jesus, but maybe you're not, and that's okay. Maybe you're able to just talk about their life and show Jesus' love and care for them in the midst of a struggle they're having. But to pursue intentional conversations. and to not just let things stay on the surface, but to really go deep. And the fourth one is to boldly apply God's word to your life. Starting with this whole making disciples thing, that we say, this actually applies to me. If I'm a follower of Jesus, this is an obedience thing. How am I going to do this? Boldly apply it to your life. God wants to do amazing things in us and through us. And as we've talked about, there's people in this valley, there's people in your life, men and women, boys and girls, who God has amazing things in plan for them. God wants them to know how precious they are and how loved they are. And guess how he's going to do it? Through you. And in fact, the only way they may find out is through you. Do you know that? This is crucial stuff. And so, can we catch a vision for that? You know, there was one phrase left that we missed or didn't explore fully yet. It's this phrase at the end, go and make disciples of where? All the nations. And I think here Jesus pushes us out of the nest, or punts us out of the nest maybe, because we're unwilling to fly, right? We want, I'm kind of comfortable discipling Roger, right? Hi, Raj. I'm kind of, you know, the idea of thinking more discipleship around my kids, well, that's great. I like that too. But the idea of discipling that guy, well, I can't even stand him. Or those people, the idea of moving beyond my comfort zone is disconcerting to me. Jesus says the call to go and make disciples is not something that just applies to my little tribe, my little comfort zone. Jesus pushes us out into the world and says, I've called you to be a light to the nations. I've called you to make disciples wherever you go. I've called you to make disciples crossing ethnic lines and gender lines and boundaries and socioeconomic lines, being the people of God wherever you go, and being the people of God in places that no one's ever been the people of God before. No one's ever represented Jesus in that way or in that place. The early church who received these words were very Jewish and was very local. And it took a work of the Holy Spirit, and some persecution helped, to get them beyond themselves and out across the lines, sharing the message of Jesus to people that, frankly, they didn't think the message Jesus applied to. And we all have people in our lives where we think, they would never be interested in Jesus. They would never be interested in church. They'd never say yes to coming to Alpha. They're weird. They're harsh. They're strange. You would not believe the kind of hopes and dreams that God has for those people. You wouldn't believe the part he wants you to play in it. God is calling us to go and make disciples, to be disciples making disciples. And our neighbors and our friends and our family and people we haven't even met yet are waiting to find out what you and I are going to do about that, about God's dreams and God's plans. So may God use us to disciple people, to be discipled, to walk this discipleship journey together, following Jesus and inviting others to join us in this amazing adventure of following Jesus together. Let's pray. Jesus, you've given us the clear command to go and make disciples, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would fill us and challenge us and move us to be your people making disciples. I pray that you would challenge us individually and as couples and as families and as friends. I pray that you would challenge us as a church, as a corporate body, the Erickson Covenant Church, to take this discipleship call seriously, that under your authority, we would be the people who make disciples, who are willing to be challenged, willing to grow, willing to learn, willing to share, and see your life come in us and through us to the world. We ask that your blessing would rest upon us, that we would be your people on purpose. In your name we pray. Amen.